not yet. Oh, okay, good. All right. I'm going to have Brother Phil Gabbard come up and preach for us. I've known Brother Phil since the late 70s. That's the 1970s, by the way. He and Brother Bruce McDowell used to preach tent meetings up in Canton area for Brother Art Martin up there. And as a Bible college student, I went over there and got to sit in on a lot of those meetings. I was cutting my teeth as a young Christian back then at that time, and it was a real blessing to me. And lost contact with Brother Gabbard for many years. And then you were with us how long ago? A year ago or two?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
All right. He was back with us a couple years ago, and we're glad to have him whenever he's passing through here. Come and stay with us and preach for us. And he's going to do something a little unusual. You see the picture behind me. He's going to preach, and then when he's done, draw something back there. So thought we'd do something unique. You know, we don't have the gospel sings, and we don't have the all the pantomimes and all that kind of stuff. So we have a picture drawn on Wednesday night. We're going contemporary now, brother, I'll tell you. But it's preaching first. Preaching first. That's the way the Bible describes it. God chose by the foolishness of preaching. We're getting away from that in our days. People are filling the pulpits with a lot of other stuff. And we need to stick to preaching. And Brother Gabbard is a preacher of the Word of God.
Amen.
And I appreciate that about him. And we're going to invite him to come up at this time. Brother, you just take the service. About 9 o'clock, they'll start nodding off. But up till then, you'll be fine.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. All right. It's good to be back with you again. And he's right. We're traveling through. We just finished a meeting in Springfield, Ohio. We had two people saved. And they just got into a new building, so yours is next. Amen. So I'm really excited for your church and what's on the horizon for you. I couldn't help but notice the pastor's was carefully choosing words a while ago. I'll be careful just like he was. He set the tone, and I'll be careful and be wise tonight. So I do appreciate your pastor, amen, and his family and his wife and what they have. Don't know what will happen here tonight. I'm going to have some chalk, a chalkboard set up, and it takes me about 15 minutes to draw a chalk draw, and it's an illustration. That's all it is. And I draw it last, and I want to preach first. I want to focus on the preaching, as Pastor said, and that's how I always do it. And God has allowed me to take this many places, the street, Mexico, different places, and it works. It's art is an international language, just like music. You just got to watch what you're doing. I use it for just an illustration. That's all it is. I do fine arts. I paint, so on and so forth, but I'm not doing that tonight. This is an illustration of what I'm trying to preach. We've asked someone to maybe play a little background music. If they play fast, I draw fast. If they play Reformation hymns slow, I draw slow. So, but anyway, it works really well, and it's good to use the talent that God has given you here in the church. And I think if you have a talent, you ought to use it for the glory of God. If it can glorify God, you ought to do that. So tonight I want to preach to you a little while. So what will happen, I'll preach, bring the message, and then I'll turn around and have a light here. There will be a little play on lights. There's no hidden picture in the drawing tonight. I might have did that before. I can't remember. But I do some of that. But right at the end, maybe I'll show you, because it's going to be a play on light tonight. And I want to preach to you a message that I call, Let There Be Light. And I believe it's a very important message for the day and age that we live. So I'll try to draw something that illustrates that a little later on. But when I do finish preaching, I'll just say, okay, I'm going to draw a picture, and maybe they can move this to the side so you can see well. I'll turn my lights on. And if you want to really see what's going on, we might turn some of these down if they dim, whatever. We'll work that out. We don't have to turn them off until right at the end. But I would like to show you what's going on in the picture. God is quite a magnificent God. I don't know that I understand everything about light tonight, but I know this King James Bible that I'm preaching from has some things to say about light. And I want to bring you that message. So if you have a Bible tonight, take it with you. If you wouldn't, go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I started off, God called me to be an evangelist in 1975. I worked in evangelism the first 5 years as our family grew. There are 7 children. We traveled, and those days the pastor was talking about in Canton, we'd hold the tent meeting every year. We would go clear to Mayo, Michigan, and hold a tent meeting up there for Dave Helmick. And we set the tent up. That's when I first met John Jenkins. That's been so many years ago. His church was little, and he told me, I think I had about 20 people, Brother Phil, when you came up there. And I was so green behind the ears. It was terrible. But the Lord's good. He's been good to us, blessed us, and we're still preaching. In there, I pastored 18 years, 3 different churches, a large church, a small church, and started a church. So God has given me, you're in school every day. And I found that out, and I'm still in school, listening and doing what God guides. But in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, let me read those first few verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I'm going to stop right there because there's really something going on right there. Now, I took some antihistamines because when I travel and we've been busy, I'm a little ragged tonight, so you bear with me and I'll get lathered up here and I'll preach in a minute. Amen. My throat, I mean. Somebody asked a scientist one time, what is light? And that's a good question. And it has been described to him as radiant energy. I guess that's a good start. It would seem to be that light has to be some type of physical substance flowing, is what they think, between the sources or the source and wherever the light goes. And then the question was, what is it? That's a scientist's answer. So we look a little deeper and a little further back and see what Newton says about light. A real thinker. There are several ways to think of light. The classical description says light is an electromagnetic wave. This means that it is a varying electric and magnetic field which spreads out or propagates from one place to another. It is not a physical substance. Are you confused yet? It's not a physical substance. The modern quantum mechanical descriptions says that light can also be considered to be particles called photons. These carry energy and momentum but have no mass. In both descriptions, the light energy is carried by a very real and observable mechanism, but I would not call it a physical substance. I don't think he knew what light was either. Einstein spent a lot of time trying to figure out what light was, amen? And bouncing it off of this and looking at it this way and looking at it that way. And there was another guy back in history called Benjamin Franklin who wanted to know about light and electricity. He thought there was connection, and he went to fly a kite in a thunderstorm with a key on it. Now, I don't think you ought to go try that in the next thunderstorm that comes up. You might experience electricity, amen? I don't know, but there's a connection. But there's been a lot of people trying to figure out what light is. And you've heard people say, well, back to the Bible or back to the jungle. And I look at that and I say, well, back to the Bible. It's up to the Bible, amen? It's not back any place. It's light years ahead of anything we've tried to think or say. And so the Bible has something to say about light tonight. I want to preach on light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for a chance to come preach your word. I pray, God, now you bless the service, bless each person, suit a blessing to them. If there's somebody here that doesn't know you, I pray, God, tonight they could be saved and free pardon of sin. Bless the illustrations with chalk tonight. These things I pray and ask in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. So a little thing called let there be light. Light's very important. God said here, let there be light, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but in my studies, I thought, well, just take this, the honeybee, the little tiny honeybee There might be somebody in here that raises bees, and you may know about this, but the honeybee is a remarkable little creature, and he depends on light to get from his hive to the flowers and the pollen and to get back. And it's all done with light and the polarization of light. And I thought that was very interesting, but God created that little creature. And yeah, I know people think he evolved, but I believe God created him. And as I looked at the little honeybee buzzing around flower beds for honey, pollen, and bees, they can return unerring to their hives. This is because bees use sunlight as a compass. Bees sense the sun's polarization to confirm the sun's position and therefore the direction in which to fly. The sun's polarization is based on the direction from which one looks at the sun and the sun's height in the sky. Let me stop right there. As an artist, I use light a lot. If you're a photographer, you use light. But the polarization of light can be better explained by taking a prism that you might have seen, a little glass prism in science class, and letting the sunlight or any light shine through it, and it will project the three primary colors, very important to an artist, a red, yellow, and blue, and the four secondary colors, which make up the colors. Add them all together, you got the four, five, six, seven, the eight, and then the new beginning, and white's the absence of color, so you have them all. But it's done, and that little honeybee kind of does the same thing. On his little eyeball, he has eight reflectors in each eye. Eight little reflectors. You say, what do? They sense the sun rays and they come through polarizing. Each one polarizes in its own right and sends a light beam out of his little eye. He can see when he flies out that morning, he may get red. And when he gets red, he flies out on red. And so when he turns that thing around, God made him in such a nice way that he can sense that that red thing will reverse the azimuth and send him back to the hive. All done with light. And I'm thinking, man, that's better than what Newton said. That's better what some other scientist said back in the 1800s. So I'm going to go with the God, the creator of the universe and the little honeybee and how he needs light. Now, I don't want to preach on the honeybee tonight. I just thought that was interesting, and you got that all free tonight, amen? The life was the light of men. Light is that by which we see objects distinctly. A light is very important for you and I today. Light, the light of the sun enables us to discern the form, the distance, the magnitude, and the relation of objects, and prevents the perplexities and dangers that we might have as a result of darkness. Light is the opposite of darkness. You say, I had that figured out. But you'd be surprised, and when you look at the simple things in the Word of God, how profound they are. And the Bible has a lot to say about light. Whatsoever doth not make manifest is light. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. And there are just a number of passages. I won't have time for all of them tonight, but the Messiah was predicted as the light of the world. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. And I do understand I want to talk about two kinds of light tonight and end up on the light that we enjoy here or that emits from the sun that God created. But my Savior is light. That's what the Bible says, and we'll try to understand that. But let me say this about light. Luke 11 verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. I think that a very interesting verse of Scripture. If we're called lights, if we're the children of God, and our light ought to be seen by a lost and dying world. Let's go to Isaiah. And let me just use this, Isaiah 9, to the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And I believe that light is the light of God. So when I began over there in Genesis chapter 1, I wanted to point out that in the beginning of the Bible, and even in the end of the Bible, light plays an important part in this scripture. God said, let there be light. I'm saying tonight, let there be light. And I'll try to deliver the message that God has put on my heart. But when God said, let there be light, and I'm just going to run right over to Revelation chapter 22, 21 and verse 23 and give you this thought because it's on light. It is in verse 23 of chapter 21 that says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. He's talking about our home over there. He said, there'll be no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That Bible just told you in Revelation chapter 22 that the Son of God is the light. Amen. Now you say, well, I already knew that. You'd be surprised at the people that don't know that. Newton was struggling with it. Other scientists struggle with it. They don't even want to recognize that God is God and that God is light. You see, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, when God said, let there be light, I believe the lights came on. Amen. But he did not make the sun or the moon or the stars at that time. Because your Bible records that they're made on the fourth day. And that's before that. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Phil. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that if Revelation chapter 22, over there wherever I was at and I wrote it down, 21:23, to get it correct, if the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof, then I think what God's trying to tell you in Genesis chapter 1 is that God is light. Because, man, when he said, let there be light, darkness dissipated. That's the kind of God I serve. You're saying God is light. I'm saying God is light. You know, people look out, the scientists again, they kill me. They look out there in the solar systems and they're trying to decide what's going on and where everything is and if there's people on Mars, and you know the story and the drill. And they look up off toward the north and they see that hole and they look at that black hole and they look through that thing and they see a bright light out there someplace, but it's just so far away they can't focus in, but they think it's another solar system. Well, my Bible says in Psalms chapter 48 that God, the city of God, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great God. Brother, that's where the throne of God is, and I would expect there to be some light over there. Amen? Now, I'm no scientist, and I'm no Isaac Newton or them other guys. I'm just a simple man saved by the precious blood of the Lamb that happens to believe this old book. And if God says he's light, I'm going to say, God is light tonight. Amen. Before he ever created the moon or the stars. Verse 14, be the fourth day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be signs for the seasons, for the days of the years. And let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, that didn't happen until the fourth day. Before the fourth day got there, God allowed himself to be glorified when he said, let there be light. I believe the first time you find light in the Word of God, it's a reference to the Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shows up in Revelation, and you won't have no need of the sun or the moon or the stars in the city over there, because he's the light thereof. Have I made myself clear? Has the Word of God made itself clear? I believe that it has. God is light. And something you can see. So, this light that we're talking about here, is obviously the light of God. Not the sun, not the moon, not the stars. They're not created till verse 16, the fourth day. God, now, let me just spend just a little time here. If God is light, and He is, and then He creates the sun, which is a type, if you please, of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that, Brother Phil? I'll tell you how I know that tonight. I know that because my King James Bible says that in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. It says in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun, and he spells the word sun with a capital S, a U, and an N. You say, now wait a minute, you lost me. Why didn't he spell it capital S-O-N? Because he wanted to show you something. Our sun and our solar system is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll show you why in just a moment. If God is light, He don't want you to miss this. He wants you to get it. And so He says in Malachi 4:2, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun, capital S-U-N. And when you see a capital S on a word like sun, light, or something like that, it's personified and it's talking about somebody. In this case, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of righteousness arises with healing in His wings, that ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He's promising the nation of Israel that He'll come back as sure as the sun is in the eastern sky or the western sky. He'll be back and He'll be as bright and glorious as He ever was. You know, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, he was there in the Lord's day come. He was sitting there and having church. Amen. And brother, he was just sitting there and somebody spoke. And brother, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he turned around to behold who was speaking with him, he couldn't see for the brightness of his glory. And he said his face was as the sun shineth in its strength. You say, why? Because God is light. Amen. When he shows up, he's a bright and shining figure. He is my God, my Savior, my Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is light. Well, let me just say this. Morally tonight, the world is in a state of darkness. We live, Genesis 3, in a cursed earth, on a cursed earth. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, Paul told the Ephesian church, and you know the verse and probably have committed to memory, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul knew that this world was in darkness. And let me say this, it needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs the light. When God said, let there be light, listen, I believe that He's talking to every born-again child of God that you ought to let your light shine. If I was a teenager here tonight and I wasn't living for God like I should, I'd get going, I'd hit this altar, and I'd pray and say, God, I want to quit doing the things that I want to do, and I want to do the things that you want me to do. I want my light to shine because this world is in darkness. That's right. Not only if I was a teenager, if I was 25 years old and not living for God like I should, I'd say, God, I want to live for you and I want to shine. I want to be a bright and shining light. Now let me explain that to you. If the sun is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the moon, he said he made a greater light and a lesser light. Let me just say this. I'm no scientist, but the moon doesn't shine. Say, duh, we had that in 8th grade science class. I know, I remember. I was there. I graduated. Not with flying colors, but I graduated. Huh? But the moon is the lesser light, and it reflects the sunlight. When the sun's up over here, the moon's on that side of the earth, and the moon can kind of get a reflection from the sun. And if you got the equinox just right, another big word,
just right, man, and we'll have a harvest moon in a little bit, another couple months. There'll be a big old moon. We call the thing a harvest moon because everything's lined up just right. And man, the sun is reflecting off the moon. The moon's got that reflection. And brother, we shine. You say, oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the church is a picture. The moon is a picture of the church. And the church needs to be a light in this whole world reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ just like our moon reflects the sun. Now, you say, what about stars? Well, the stars are you and me, amen? And we better reflect too. Amen. Sometimes it's so cloudy in the child of God's life, you can't see them, amen? But the songwriter knew about that. He said, will there be any stars in your crown? Will there be any stars in your crown? I'm simply saying tonight, if you're a teenager, if you're 20 years old, if you're 40 years old tonight, if you're 50, if you're 60, kind of like me, if you're 70 or 80, I say, let your light shine. Listen, it's the only light this old lost and dying world is going to see. How do you reflect the Lord Jesus Christ if God is light? I said, morally, this world's in darkness. Paul said this in Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes. Why does the missionary go? Why do we sing, Send the Light? Why do we teach to our Sunday school class and our vacation Bible school kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Didn't know I could sing, did you? Won't let Satan? I like that part, amen? Would to God some of the old Christians would sing that song again. Amen? And they wouldn't let Satan blow it out either. But I'm here to tell you tonight, Paul said to open their eyes. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. And to turn them from darkness to light. That's what he said. Paul had a grip on this thing. He said, I want to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Listen, the Apostle Paul knew what his job was. He wanted to be a bright and shining light, and he wanted to be able to turn those that were in darkness to light. And brother, that's our job. That's your job as a church, as a child of God, to shine a bright light. Peter said this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen, he's talking to us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, amen. Brother, that's where we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to live in darkness. We're supposed to live in the light, amen. That's why you come to church on Sunday morning. That's why you make Sunday school. That's why you come back Sunday night. That's why you come Wednesday night. You say, why? To be around the other lights that you might brightly shine. The light of God, let me be careful here. Let me be very careful. The light of God is only comprehended by faith. You don't have faith. Listen, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How should they hear? Unless a preacher preach, unless somebody open the Bible and take the word of God, which is the light. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know that the word of God is a picture of the light. That's why we preach from it. That's why it illuminates us. But here tonight, the world, the light of God is only comprehended by faith. Not faith in the stock market. Not faith in America. Amen. Faith in the Word of God. That's how it's comprehended. Faith in the Word of God. So the church is in place as the lesser light, the moon. It reflects the light, and let me watch this. It reflects the light of the unseen sun. Amen. You know what? You can't see the Savior today, but you know He's here. You know He's real. You that's been saved, you've given your heart and your life to Him, and He's moved down on the inside, and He dwells in the believer. He's your comforter, He's your teacher, He's your guide, He's your light. And brother, as you reflect Him, the unseen God, other people know that you're a child of God. because you're illuminated by the precious Holy Ghost of God. God is light. Paul said this to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Any doubt that we shouldn't be shining as lights? We should. The analogy is there, verse 16 of the same passage, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He was a preacher of the gospel, a bearer of the light of God. How's your light shining tonight? You know, there's the importance of light. Without light, we have darkness. Absolutely. Turn all these lights off tonight. It'd be a little dark in here except for the natural light of outside. If we didn't have electricity, we couldn't have lights. I enjoy electricity. I've got all kinds of light here. I got red light. I got all kinds of stuff going on. Light's a remarkable thing. So it's very important to our life. There's the illuminating power of light. One match or one candle can dissipate darkness and bring light to a room. We put that wheelchair together in the rain and the light. Somebody sent this to me. I think Bethany Green sent this to me. And I believe she did. Bethany send that to me. That little light. I love this little thing. It's supposed to go on the bill of my hat. That's where it goes. I really look good wearing it. I want to wear it and preach sometimes. It's got that light. Wouldn't I look good with that? And then you get, that's right. It's got two little bright LED lights. And man, I can see to put that wheelchair together in the dark. And I fumble around there and get her wheelchair put all together. I keep that thing in my pocket or someplace like that. And light's important. It can illuminate. The illustrations of light are unmeasurable. Every artist, any artist anywhere, any photographer that deals with light understands light. He understands the direct light of the sun and how the shadows cast. He understands the indirect light of the sun and the play that can have on the subject that he's trying to paint or photograph. He understands translucent light, which is a ghostly type kind of light. He understands rim light, which is a light that doesn't come from anywhere, but yet it's there. Kind of like God, amen. I mean, there's all kinds of light. And I've always loved the study of light. But the greatest thing I love about it is God is light. And He said, let there be light. There's the integrity of light. Somebody says, well, I don't understand that. Could you shed a little light on that thing? Man, we'll get them in the Bible. Turn over there. Let me show you this. Let me show you that. And let me get you over here in John chapter 10 and show you about how you're not going to fall out. I mean, there's assurance. And I mean, we're shedding a little light and say, who does it? Well, the Holy Ghost does it. But man, that's a book of light. Man, you get a little light on the subject pretty quick. The integrity of light. There's the instruction of light. It'll instruct you. It'll teach you. There's the interpretation of light. Be careful. For Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 says, we're to try the spirits. There are many false spirits that would have you believe that they are angels of light when they're nothing more than devils of hell. That's why you have a standard, which is a light and a lamp. And that's why you should prove all things and hold fast to that which is good by the Word of God. Somebody said today, they're not teaching Greek up there. Hallelujah. You don't speak Greek anyway. Amen. I mean, I've had a little Greek. I can't remember none of it. Amen. I don't need it. I don't use it. You say, why? I got a Bible that's more profound than any Greek lexicon I've ever looked at or thumbed through or tried to study or tried to write or tried to memorize. You ever tried to memorize the Greek alphabet? Forget it, man. I have trouble. I speak broken English. That's good enough. Amen. I get my light from an English Bible. Amen. So there's the interpretation light, there's the increase in light, or the intensity, whatever you want to say. I blew through here. Brother Steve said, I come in, I'm here Wednesday night, I'm preaching the best I can. I'm going to draw you a little picture, and I'm going to go on over and hold another meeting, and then preach in another church, and then come back through and preach over here, and then finally get home. You may never see me again, but I trust that God sent a blessing to you and encourage you tonight to let your light shine just a little brighter. I mean, shine up the lens a little bit. You're a reflector of the brightest light that I can find in the Word of God, which is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Are you shining bright tonight? Well, I said all that to say three little things. I'm done. I'll draw you a picture. Consider those that need the light. Consider the lost, because they are in darkness. I'll give you enough Bible. That's my first point. Consider the lost. You can put any verse you want to that concerning dealing with folks that need to be saved. I'll give you four or five tonight. I'd say point number one. If you're not shining real bright, consider those that are in total darkness, that if you're not reflecting the sun, they may never get saved. Consider the lost. The prophet said, I have sat where they have sat. You've been lost, and if you're saved, you've been lost, amen. And if you don't think you've ever been lost, you need to get saved tonight, amen. But if you sat where they sat, you know what kind of darkness you were in. God bless the day that somebody come along and let you see the light. Secondly, there's the source of that light. The source is God. The Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the witness, the reflection of God in you. The source is God. He's the author and finisher of this faith. He's the author and finisher of this book. The source is God. If we have that great of a source, what hinders us from shining our light out that others may see? Thirdly and lastly, there's the reflectors of that light. That's you. Lost, God, and you. Three simple points. That's a simple preaching. You're just a reflector. And if you don't reflect well, some seamen may get lost out in the storm. I want to try to illustrate what I'm trying to say tonight with a chalk picture. And then a final illustration. So you bear with me and I'll try to draw you something. And then I'll finish up in just a few minutes. So if someone would like to play for me, you're welcome to do that. And let me draw a picture. Maybe a couple guys slide this over so folks can see. I'll turn my light on.
That's right.
Yeah, where do you want to go? Yeah,
like to speak over you, you can play. I love it.
I've just simply drawn you a plain old lighthouse on a seascape with a storm blowing, a little water going on. That didn't even take me 10 minutes.
He played fast, I drew fast.
Amen? You know, say, well, Brother Phil, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. In 1846, I can't go back any further than that. But let me say this. Last year, I was driving down on I-90 out of New Orleans, headed right through Biloxi, Mississippi. And we were preaching down there, headed for Louisiana. And I seen this lighthouse standing in the center of the median. I thought, what in the world is the lighthouse doing in Biloxi, Mississippi, in the center of the median strip with interstate on both sides? My mind automatically went to global warming and that the water was rising and not receding. And it so bothered me that I done some research and I found out that that's where that lighthouse has always been since 1846. It's the Biloxi Light. And I thought, well, so much for global warming. I thought, you know, all of Florida was to be underwater by now and half of California because, you know, all the glaciers were melting and all that kind of thing. You know, they had it wrong again. The water had receded something like 19 miles. So it wasn't coming up. That's where that lighthouse had always been. So I got to doing a little research and I found out that in 1846, the governor of Mississippi petitioned the President of the United States and said, we need a lighthouse down here. Matter of fact, we need a number of them on the Mississippi coast here along the Gulf to get our seamen in. And America was growing, and it was right before the Civil War. So the President said, you got a good idea? He said, yes, I want to build a lighthouse that'll stand. He said, I want to make it out of cast iron. And so they cast the sides of that thing, and they put it up and laid brick on the inside of it and put up limbs in it, and they set that thing up. And that thing has been in the same place through all the hurricanes. They built 10 lighthouses along the coast, but that's the only one that's still standing and hadn't been knocked down by one of those hurricanes. And something else that was remarkable to me was the first man that was the lighter of the lighthouse. He come in there, shined up the limbs, and lit that thing up, and he died. Oh, wow, he died. But his wife, Mrs. Reynolds, she stayed in the lighthouse for almost 50 years as the only lightkeeper, the only female lightkeeper. And sometimes women don't think they can let their light shine. Amen? But she was the one of the only female lightkeepers. She stayed 50 years, and then her daughter took it after her all the way through the Civil War. Her husband was dead. She had a bunch of orphan kids, but she took care of the light and kept it shining and kept it. The troops came down, stole her oil, and took it away, but she got the thing lit again and kept it going. I thought, what a testimony of a woman keeping a light lit. All those years, when she died, her daughter took it. When her daughter died, there was her daughter that took it until 1919, and they finally electrified the thing. And it's still there. I looked all the other lighthouses up. Not one of them made it through all the storms, but not one of them was built like that one. And after they seen that that one can stand the test of time, they begin to build other cast iron lighthouses. But that was one of the first cast iron lighthouses to be built, and it's still standing today. Say, what are you saying, Brother Phil? I'm saying this church ought to be like that lighthouse. I'm saying every Christian in this place tonight ought to be like that lighthouse. And if you're not shining for God, you know what? They put a Fresnel lens in that thing made in France. State-of-the-art thing back in about 1860. And they put that thing up there, and you can see that beacon from that lighthouse 20 miles out in the Gulf. And it brought many sailors safe to the port there in Pascagoula and Biloxi and all those port towns down there. And they kept that lens, and it's still in that lighthouse today. The same lens that was made in France back in the 1850s. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if God is light and you're a reflector of that light, shine up your lens tonight and get the shining for Jesus. Listen, if you're a church trying to do something, and I believe that you are, polish up the lens through the preaching of the Word of God. I mean, get going. If you're sitting here tonight and you're a teenager and you ain't quite been doing what you ought to be doing, hit the altar tonight and get polished up and shine for God. If you're a middle-aged person not shining for Jesus, shine it up tonight. If you're an old person not shining like you once did, shine it up. Old age ain't no excuse not to shine for Jesus. Amen. Because, oh, I can't do it anymore. Listen, if you never get too old to pray, you can pray. So let me show you something. Let me just show you something. Just a picture, isn't it? Nothing going on. I hate to say this, but that's how most Christian lives are. Oh, you're saved. You're there on the rock. Yeah, and the storms keep coming, and the sea keeps rolling. But that's about all you can see. And then I've got a little light on. I'm helping you out. There's a lot of people just like that. You can't see nothing. But that ain't how you got to shine. Because didn't we learn tonight that this world is a dark place? You better believe. And God made light, and let us understand light. Here's what you ought to look like in the dark hour. Did we get this to come on? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you may say, well, Brother Phil, I'm no big lighthouse, but you might be a little light down along the shore. And I'm saying tonight, let the lower lights be burning. If He's the greater light, we're all lower lights. And brother, we ought to be reflecting the greater light. And brother, if He is the light, we should reflect Him and be the children of God that He wants us to be and win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's stay in it and let's shine till He gets back. Amen. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. You need to shine in this dark night. I'll turn the lights back on. Did you get the picture? No pun intended. But let me tell you something. Yeah, thank you. God invented light. He is light. You're just a reflector of that light. And tonight, if you need to shine up, polish up, furbish it up, clean it up, get the Windex out of the Word of God, shine it up, let it shine for Jesus. Pastor, would you come?
Take the songbook if you would tonight. Let's stand together. Turn to page number 138. Page number 138. We're going to sing a song of invitation. The message has been given. Maybe you need to come down to the altar and ask God to help you to let your light shine brighter than it has been. So we sing page 138. You come. Second verse, if you need to come, you come. Oh. words. Night together, good time, good preaching of the Word of God, and a wonderful illustration. Couldn't get much more anywhere else you'd have gone tonight. Anytime you get the Word of God, it shines your light up. That's why we get together every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just to shine up the lens a little more. See, I never learned anything new. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the old truth. That's what all the other churches are getting a problem with. They need something new. They need something exciting, something thrilling. And really the excitement and thrill is not in the new stuff. It's in the old truths of the Word of God, letting our light shine. God said, let there be light. Let's be dismissed in prayer this evening. We'll see you again on Sunday. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Gabbards. We pray, God, you'd bless them as they continue on in their ministry. Father, continue to use them, bless their children and their grandchildren. And Father, use us this week to be a brighter light in our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us tonight with your blessing, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.